Hi. Hi, Kim, compulsive overeater and sugar addict. Hi. I always feel so unique, and then everybody's telling my story. What the heck? Anyway, I'm just going to do the standard thing, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like today. And I hope I spend a lot more time on what it's like today. So I'll just watch the little timer thing. You know, I'm not from a trauma-filled childhood. I'm from a big family, big Catholic family, 9 kids. We didn't have a lot of money. My dad was a blue-collar worker that was on strike every 3 years. But we always had enough food. You know, I didn't know we were poor. And it was chaotic. It was just chaotic. I'm the 6th out of 9, so there was never enough time on my mom's lap. And I think, you know, I just think I was always looking for attention, and I didn't get it, and I didn't know how to get it, and I didn't know how to deal with that. And so food became the answer at a really young age, really young age. I'm going to skip fast forward because I can spend a lot of time on that really young age part. But in adolescence, when I became an adolescent, I gained 100 pounds in the first 2 years. So by the time I was 14, I weighed 225 pounds, which I will tell you, got a lot of attention, but not what I was looking for, you know? Teenagers are not kind. High school is hard. And I don't know. You know, it just wasn't. I wasn't from a small town, and everybody knew you. And so there wasn't that kind of bullying where you tell your mother and she'd go talk to the other parent. But, you know, people, you know, I didn't fit in. I did not fit in. I did not fit in. And that's all I wanted. All I wanted was to fit in. I thought, well, I'll make that point later. Anyway, I too did AIDS, which has a whole different meaning today, but I lost 80 pounds. And then I was getting the attention. I was getting the attention, and now I didn't know what to do with it. And so I started to eat again, and I could see, you know, here starts the story of my life. I've lost weight and now I'm going to gain it, you know, and that's a story that repeated itself a lot. But fortunately, there were after school specials back then, and they did one on eating disorders. Now, I'm not saying this is the message they were trying to send, but I discovered binging and purging. I will just tell you, I was like, what a miracle, man. What timing. So now I chased down that rabbit hole for 12 years. And the only time I found respite from that was when I was drinking, you know, which became part of my story. And that was the first 12-step room I walked into at 27 was AA. I know a lot of people have dual, triple addictions, you know, so I don't think I'm telling anybody anything that they don't know, but once I put down the alcohol, you know, I needed to find something else. I will say that I took the interim step of marrying a fellow newbie alcoholic. I had 3 months sobriety, he had 9, and we got married. Which my mom proceeded to tell everyone that I wasn't really an alcoholic. I only went to AA to meet men. I was. It's a whole nother story. It's a whole nother story. Anyway, whatever. You know, we made a life. We made a life. Not a sane life. Not a healthy life. But we made a life, and we made 2 kids. And I'm still with that man today. You know, I'll get to the end right there. I'm still with him today. You know, but my kids started leaving home. My marriage wasn't good. My husband was suffering from health. You know, life, hello, life got lifey, as someone so aptly said earlier, you know. And I now decided that it was time to quit smoking. So I, you know, it got to be $8 a pack. I'll just tell you, it was all about the money, all about the money. I'm not paying $8 a pack. I'm going to quit smoking. So I did. And I proceeded to put on 30 pounds in 3 months. And I just knew where it was headed, you know. And now I'm angry and I'm resentful because my husband's still smoking. What the heck? You know, he should quit too. You know, other people in the world were smoking, and they too should quit. I should have moved to North Korea. I hope he made everybody quit. But anyway, you know, if only I was a dictator, which at times I am. Anyway, let me skip. It forced me to walk into the rooms, and I will tell you, I didn't do the 12 steps the way, you know, I just didn't get honest with the 12 steps in AA. But I knew it worked. I knew it worked. I had quit drinking. You know, I'm still sober today. You know, I knew it worked, and I knew a 12-step room, a 12-step program would work. So, you know, of course, I got on my phone and looked it up, and I need to get into recovery here real quick. But anyway, I played around with it. I walked into the rooms 9 years ago. My abstinence date is May 3rd, 2021. So, in, out, in, out, in, out. I did that dance for many years. But I will tell you, I didn't quit coming. The only time I could breathe was when I was in those rooms. You know? You hear it all the time. If you want to find out what you're eating, drinking, smoking over, put it down. You know, I was eating, smoking, drinking over me. I can't live life on life's terms. I want to live life on Kim's terms, you know. And that was oh so not successful for years. So I want to get to the recovery. I will tell you, the physical recovery is great. You know, I'm not downplaying that. I've lost 60 pounds and I've kept it off for, well, a year. I've been in maintenance for a year. That's awesome. I like the clothes I can buy. That's a real gift. But I will tell you, the gift is I no longer obsess about food. I no longer obsess about things I did wrong. My whole life swings around, or previous to getting abstinent and getting into program and into recovery, I was motivated by shame and fear and secrets. I was having a conversation with my sponsor not too long ago, and we were talking about secrets, and she was sharing, I don't think I have a secret that somebody doesn't know. And I thought, you know, that's so true. Through the fourth and fifth step, I really don't, and meeting with my sponsor and doing 10 steps on a daily basis, I don't think I have a secret anymore. And therefore, I don't have the shame. I was always so fearful you guys would figure out, you would see who I really was, and you would loathe me as much as I loathed me. You know, everything was to, you know, so many people talked about it, about how they wanted, how we want others to see us. I only have value when I see it in your eyes. You know what I mean? And success looks good on you guys. It looks so much easier. I have the disease of compare and despair, you know? I compare my insides to your outsides, the new car, the house, the marriage that just seems like a half-hour sitcom, you know? It looks good on you guys. I am struggling, man. I'm struggling. And I will tell you, you know, I don't know what else to say. I love my life today, and a lot of that is because I now have a relationship with a higher power. I don't have to do this alone. If I could have figured out the answer, I would have done it well, I'm not going to tell you my age, but it would have been a long time ago. You know, I would have done it. I read the books. I went to therapy. I joined the groups. I joined the weight loss stuff. You know, I just didn't have an answer. And you know what? Someone in the room said, I'm jumping around, but I want to get to this point most of all. You don't have to chase after God. God is chasing after you. All you have to do is stop running. And I will tell you, if I was willing to get a tattoo and I wanted it to take up my whole back, that's the one I would get, you know, because that's the one that resonates with me. I just had to stop running. You know, I had so many pithy things to say to you that you guys would just want to go embroider on a pillow, but I've now forgotten them all. I just want to tell you how I am so grateful. I would go to meetings and people would, I'm so grateful to be an overeater. And I thought, well, number one, the name sucks. We should get something better than Overeaters Anonymous. It's not sexy enough. But, you know, I am grateful. I would have never come to a higher power except through this program. That was never going to be my story. I was never going to get it. I was never, ever going to get it. And I have it today. And it's not perfect. And I don't always lean on God. And sometimes I sit there and go, yes, I know that's what you want me to do, but I don't think that's what I'm going to do. You know, I still negotiate. I still negotiate. But in the end, he's right. It is right. It is right. I am just so grateful to be here. Thank you for asking me to do this service. I was terrified. And now it's over.